every couple of weeks, we're joined by nutritional consultant Pam Colleen again today. How are you, Pam?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
I am excellent, let me tell you. Well, you counsel tons of people, and it's everyone thinks they need to lose a little weight, or people want to eat a healthier diet. We have too much fat. We want to lose a little weight. We want to get down to so we're healthy human beings. There are a dedicated couple of people out there in our midst who are trying to gain weight. There are people out there who want to actually put on pounds, but not fat. They're looking to put on muscle. It's easier than we think to take off weight. It is tough to put on weight, isn't it? I mean, it is really tough to put on. And if it's only muscle, it is really hard work.
Oh, it's very hard work. I'm just as concerned when I see somebody who's extremely thin or skinny as I am when I see somebody who's morbidly obese. Being extremely skinny
right.
or thin is actually a major, major red flag for me. And I do work with a lot of people who are struggling with underweight. And so fundamentally what it comes down to, actually, it has to do with their oxidation rate. And so typically the vast majority of the population as adults, we should be in the rate of slow oxidation. And what happens in fast oxidation is these people cannot gain weight. They are burning their fuel at too fast a rate. And because they're burning their fuel too fast, they eat and eat and eat and eat and don't gain an ounce. And unfortunately, they're just as sick as somebody who might be in a very, very slow rate of oxidation as well.
And you know what? And I'm glad you pointed that out. I'm looking at it from almost the athlete point of view. But when you look at it, you're seeing people and the chronic underweight. I mean, there's so many problems when you have not only a poor diet, but when you have a diet where everything gets burned up, those critical essential fatty acids don't get used to repair tissue. They get used as energy.
Well, and you can't build muscle because you can't use your protein effectively either.
There you go. So, yeah. Everything is used to just as energy.
Right. So what ends up happening is people become catabolic versus anabolic. And so that has a lot to do, again, with their oxidation rate, and that has to do with how healthy their adrenal glands are functioning. And I know we talk a lot about adrenal glands on this show, honestly, like, we're living in this fast new world, and our adrenal glands are simply not adjusting well to this fast new world. We are overtaxing our adrenal glands. And if you want me to give you a bottom line, that's it. We need to respect the fact that, you know, we should be in this parasympathetic state of resting and digesting and not putting too much of a burden on our adrenal glands. Because when I'm working with somebody in fast oxidation or slow oxidation, it's almost the same protocol in terms of their lifestyle. They must rest in order to heal the adrenal glands, because in order to build muscle tissue, they must rebuild the adrenal glands.
When we look at, and we'll get into protein powders in a second, because I know you want to talk about what to look out for and what not to get, which is most of them. But when we look at someone, as you say, in a fast oxidation state, are we also looking at one of, you talk about adrenaline, but one of the other hormones that gets produced by the body, and the good, and I'll go over the good side in a second, is cortisol, which, you know, goes through the body and allows us not, fast oxidation state, allows us to eat less, but it's a stress hormone that in times of antiquity, when we were attacked by the fellow, you know, the tribe next door, or there was a real chance of starvation because the crops didn't come in, or something catastrophic happened, for your body to release this stress hormone, cortisol, allowed us to get by with less. But the negative is, in our modern world, when we have all this cortisol, it's hard to turn it off.
Well, it's very hard to turn it off. And so that's why I teach people to train themselves to be able to rest and be able to relax their adrenal glands so they can bring down the cortisol. And cortisol, as you know, Tom, is an aging hormone. It breaks down tissue. It breaks down the body. It causes us to age prematurely. We need some cortisol, but we just don't need to produce as much cortisol as we are producing today in this extremely stressful world that we live in.
It's almost like it's rocket fuel, but you only need an eyedrop of it in very stressful times. We don't, and today we have it in our bodies by the bucketful.
That's right.
This chemical, which is necessary, in a tiny amount. Mm-hmm. Stress can sometimes be good for us, but constant stress is terrible. So how do you advise your clients to, this is how you relax, or what do you do to try to bring their levels down?
Well, essentially, they need to train themselves over the course of a day to rest. So I have to get them to stop doing aerobic exercise if they are aerobic exercisers. So they must stop running on a treadmill or going jogging or riding bikes or whatever it is that they're doing to produce excessive amounts of cortisol in the first place. And that's very difficult for people who are, of course, exercise addicts.
Those people. There's tons of them.
Oh, there's lots of them. And they actually use exercise as their cocaine.
Yeah.
And so essentially the same damage, they're doing a similar damage to their adrenal glands as somebody who's using a stimulant. And they, unfortunately, because exercise or aerobic exercise is painted as something that's so healthy, people don't put the connection together. But when I am talking to people who are elite athletes, I get to hear their stories. They have trouble sleeping at night, they're stressed, they have anger issues, they can't lose weight, they're considered to be overweight even though they're elite athletes, and of course, as you know, Tom, too much cortisol will drive insulin drives fat, so you can see people who overexercise who are trying to lose weight and they just can't lose weight because they keep driving up that cortisol. So there's all sorts of adverse effects from overexercise. So what I have to do is get people to intellectually understand the damage that they're doing to their bodies and then to learn to relax. So they may need to learn how to meditate or may need to start appreciating relaxing music, or if they enjoy prayer, they may need to start praying more just to be able to relax their nervous system.
Quarter after 11. Pam Killeen's our guest on the program. When we come back, we'll talk about, okay, so underweight, there are people out there who need to gain weight. And so, not just for body shape or for, to make yourself look good in a bikini or fill out your jeans. It's because a healthy body weight also leads to a healthier brain that we can show that clearly what you eat also has an impact on your psychological state, your mental state, your emotional state, and that people who are of a good body weight eating the right foods can be healthier and happier. But when we come back, Pam, I want you to talk to us about what, if you're trying to gain weight, how not to do it. Okay. And what to look for. I mean, you've talked to a number of athletes and you have a good resource in your bodybuilder who's like, yeah, here's what not, because bodybuilders are those people who chart everything they eat. They measure everything. They know exactly how much they get and they've got it down to a science, they think. But you tell me where they're fooling themselves when we come back, okay?
Okay, sure.
16 minutes after 11 o'clock. This is News Talk 610 CKTB. 21 minutes after 11 o'clock. This is News Talk 610 CKTB. There are people who need to gain weight. There are people for health reasons need to put on pounds. But there's also people who specifically want to gain weight, specifically muscle mass, and they're bodybuilders. Pam, what are the problems with protein powders? Because bodybuilders are told you have to eat a certain amount of protein every day. The one guideline is usually a gram for every pound of body weight, which is a lot of protein, huge amount of protein.
A lot of marketing goes into these products, and unfortunately, there is a very dark side to protein powders. And I'm speaking as one who used to believe in them and take them myself. And so did my friend Randy Roach, who is an elite athlete and historian. He's, I think, the first person in the world to have written a historical account of what is known as physical culture or bodybuilding. He's written two volumes on the history of bodybuilding, and he himself is a trainer. And he won't touch protein powders either. And when he's training people, he warns people against taking protein powders. And one of the reasons why, of course, is that the protein powders that are sold on the market for the most part are nothing more than a waste product. That's all they are, is a waste product. Another reason why I don't like them is because when you're concentrating protein into this powder, of course, you're going to get concentrated amounts of certain amino acids. And I know Dr. Russell Blaylock, and he's the author of the book Excitotoxins. One of his main concerns with these protein powders is that you will get abnormally high amounts of two particular amino acids. One is glutamic acid and the other is aspartic acid. So essentially that's MSG and aspartame. And those are linked with, of course, the increased risk of having brain tumors, because these are excitotoxic neurotransmitters or amino acids, if you will. So you're going to get abnormally high amounts of these amino acids if you're eating a concentrated protein powder. So as a neurosurgeon, Dr. Blaylock is really concerned about people taking in these highly concentrated protein powders. And there's another reason why I caution people against using protein powders, and that is that even as Consumer Reports had investigated a couple of years ago, that they tend to have high amounts, unacceptably high amounts of certain heavy metals like arsenic, lead, cadmium, and mercury.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, you'd think in the bodybuilding world where everything is about purity and keeping things out of the body that no one would have caught this by now.
Well, I think that there's so many people selling this product that it's very hard to say anything negative about the protein powder industry. And the sad part is, honestly, Tom, the part that really irks me is that they have distanced people so much from real food by selling this newfangled food. When you look at the history of bodybuilding, which my friend Randy Roach has done, and you look at the early 1900s with some of the top people in this industry, people like Bernard McFadden, how did they bulk up? They bulked up using raw milk, raw cream, raw eggs, grass-fed meat, and look at how far we've gone. Look at how upside down this model has turned to today. So after the 1970s, when we start to see the rise of these protein powders, now what we see is these bodybuilders eating a low-fat diet, but a very high in protein. And a high-protein diet is very hard on the liver, very hard on the body in general. And, of course, one of the things that depletes in these people is the fact that they have been so afraid of eating animal fat that they starve their brains. And so the people I know who are in the physical culture world or the bodybuilding world will tell me that they see nothing but depression, anxiety, drug addiction, all sorts of problems with people who are following this high-protein, low-fat diet in those circles.
You know, it's interesting. One of the guys who I like to read is one of the top guys on the net. His name's Jason Ferrugia. And he was a vegetarian, and he had to abandon it. And he goes, you know what? I had to abandon it. Here's why. I wasn't getting enough of what I needed. And then he is a very, I guess, as you would say, natural whole food eater in terms of organic chicken, grass-fed organic beef. Make sure you get your olive oil in there. Make sure you get, you know, and very high on sources of protein that are clean, organic. And here's a guy who's trained thousands of people, professional athletes, and he's like, you know what? I made a mistake by being vegan vegetarian. This is what you should do. But at the same time, I mean, like, here's what you have to eat. And his number one thing, well, you eat too many carbs. You're addicted to carbs. Cut out the carbs. Good combinations of proteins and fats together.
Yeah, Josh Trentine is former Mr. Natural USA, and he is a good friend of Randy Roach's, and I've met him and so on. But he's basically making, in his own world, he's making a comeback in many, many different ways, because he used to be a high-protein, low-fat eater, and then he learned about the work of Dr. Weston A. Price and the importance of pastured eggs and grass-fed meat and raw dairy products, and he's turned his life around, basically turning to those foods. But nowhere in that equation, of course, is included the protein powders.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, here's something that it's been forced upon, not forced upon, but bodybuilders, you know, have that mindset, what we call bro science, where, you know, oh, this is what you got to do. No scientific evidence, no proof. They just do experiment upon themselves. And now we find out, you know what, it didn't work. It didn't work. Why didn't you eat healthy, whole, natural foods? Not only for people who want to lose weight, but also eat a little more and you can gain muscle mass, which they're looking to do.
Yeah, it's a much safer way to do it through real food.
Pam, always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Tom.